A couple minutes, are you ready to go? All right, 2 minutes. Take a 2 minute break.
Behind tab 10 is all the information for this afternoon's presentation. There are five attachments. One is the Amendment 5 decision document dated 15th of July. There's a summary of the July 30th committee meeting, the Amendment 5 timeline, some correspondence, and a copy of Phil's PowerPoint. At our last meeting in June, the Council directed the committee to continue the development of Amendment 5, including the alternatives for sector management programs and ITQs. And the committee did meet on July 30th in Portsmouth to continue work. While the committee initially considered and supported the inclusion of catch share alternatives, it concluded that due to the complexity of the issues, all the analysis and other considerations attempting to include these alternatives would significantly jeopardize meeting the ACL and AM deadlines. So the committee voted to recommend that Amendment 5 be split and to address ACLs, AMs, the spec package, and some administrative changes to the plan first, and that all other measures proposed in Amendment 5 and no others, no new ones, are to be considered in the next monkfish action. The timing is that this council is scheduled to approve the draft document at our November meeting. Public hearings are going to be held in the early winter, and the target date for approval of the final measures for Amendment 5 is June. And Phil's got a short PowerPoint, and then I have a committee motion.
Well, that's coming up. I will refer from time to time to, I think, the more detailed explanation is included in the decision document, and particularly some of the footnotes to the decision document. But this is really just to summarize the committee's recommendations. I'm going to real quickly run through, just to refresh everyone's mind, on the purpose and timeline for the amendment, some of the things that the council has approved for consideration, which the committee is not changing, and then the ones that it is recommending be deferred to the next monkfish action, and some of the rationale for that. The primary purpose voted on by the council is to establish ACLs, AMs, and other reference points to comply with Magnuson-Stevens Reauthorization Act and National Standard 1 guidelines, and also to set the specifications, the management measures, days at sea, and trip limits to replace those that were adopted in Framework 4 and that will be expiring or actually operating under an automatic extension. The Council also identified as a purpose to consider adopting ITQs and or sector programs in this amendment, time permitting. And Terry's already touched on the timeline. The effectiveness date for this amendment will be May of 2011 in order to have our ACLs and AMs in accordance with the Magnuson Act. So right now there are no changes to be discussed on the reference points of MSY, OFL, ABC, ACLs, which the Council's approved in June. The committee did discuss setting the optimum yield equal to the ACT, because essentially that is the highest yield you can get from the fishery without risking overfishing in consideration of both scientific and management uncertainty. There were initially three options for the ACT. Option one at the time was to set the ACT equal to the current target TAC, and the committee has recommended that that be put into the category of alternatives considered and rejected, because in the context of the stock being rebuilt and overfishing not occurring, it's not those target tags are unnecessarily restrictive. There were no additional changes since the Council considered the accountability measures and ACT options, other than that one option one removal. Other things that are still in the document include the to have a range of options for days at sea and trip limits for the ACT options, which would include maintaining the current days at sea and adjusting the trip limits upward, maintaining the current trip limits, adjusting the days at sea upward, and then a combination option. Other things included in the thing are the automatic adjustment for trip limit overage, and there are three options being presented for that. Allowing Category C and D vessels that have a multi-species permit to choose when they'll use their required combination days, rather than having them automatically be clocked when they're using a monkfish day at the beginning of the year. Another measure that's retained in the document at this time is to eliminate the groundfish days at sea usage requirement for sector vessels. Right now, the sector vessels operations program may not require the use of days at sea, but the vessels will still have days at sea on the books, which they would, under the no action alternative, be required to use when they're using a monkfish day at sea. In addition, some of the other measures that are still in the document include options for allowing research set-aside days at sea to be carried over to the next year, allowing changes to the research set-aside program in the through a framework adjustment, requiring a BMS on all monkfish vessels with power-down provisions, and to allow the landing of monkfish heads. As I mentioned before, the committee is recommending that option one, at the time it was called option one, for the ACT, which is to set it equal to the current target TAC, be considered and rejected. The committee then, this is really the meat of the action today, is recommending that the council agree to deferring action on changes to the incidental limits that were proposed in the June outline. There were a number of incidental limit changes that were proposed. It's not clear why these were proposed, because the current incidental limits do not appear to be constraining on the vessels. When you look at what is landed under these incidental limits, they're not bumping up against the limit, so even if you increased it, there would not necessarily be any change. So we don't really know what the impacts would be. We can't say that you reduce discards or you would be shifting allocation from the directed fishery to the incidental fishery. We just don't really have the information. So we're going to reconsider these perhaps in the next action, but it requires further analysis. The committee is also recommending to defer action on cat shares and to make it the priority for the next monkfish action. The committee does not want to delay the implementation of the mandated parts of the amendment under the MSRA and the specifications. The committee did have a straw man cat share proposal, but it really requires extensive development. There are a number of outstanding issues unresolved questions, and we've heard from the NEPA folks that in some cases there need to be a reasonable range of alternatives. For example, right now for the Northern Management Area qualification or allocation program, there is only one alternative. And so there needs to be some time spent developing a range of alternatives, not necessarily the same range that was considered in Amendment 16, but a range, a reasonable range. There were, as we've learned, there has been some discrepancies between vessel records and the NIMS data on landings, as dealer reports and VTRs, and it would make a lot of sense to have those issues resolved as much as we can before we actually, you know, do the allocation so that the process does move more smoothly when it is implemented. And also, we need to develop the appeals process, perhaps modeled after current appeals processes, maybe not, maybe improved on, as well as determining the implementation schedule of a sector catch share program pending appeals. We need to do some more development on the catch monitoring. As you know, monkfish is caught in virtually every fishery. It's different in that regard from many other fisheries, and we need to resolve how the catch of monkfish is going to be monitored under these various catch share programs, where you will have a directed component and an incidental component, and the incidental component comprises a much greater number of vessels. Cost recovery programs need to be detailed, monitoring, administration, and enforcement costs. And also, we could perhaps identify where we can piggyback on those cost components that are being covered now under the groundfish and any other catch share programs that might come along and realize some efficiencies there. There's no discussion in the straw man on the impact on the research set-aside program. The research set-aside program currently is based on days at sea, and if some or all of the fleet monkfish limited access permit holders goes into a catch share program, the question is, you know, they can, what happens to the research days at sea-based research set-aside program? Perhaps we need to construct a new type of research set-aside program that's based on an allocation of fish instead of days at sea. But that has to be discussed. So between now and the next council meeting, we'll be completing the document, going through an internal review at NIMS, and incorporating their comments with the target distribution date of October 31st, so that you will have 2 weeks to read the document prior to the council meeting. And then the Mid-Atlantic Council meeting has approval scheduled in December, and then we can schedule public hearings and proceed from there.
Questions for Phil before I make a committee motion?
Phil, that oversight recommendation that the ACT option one would have to consider that considered and rejected. As I recall from the SSC setting ABC, that they set kind of an interim ABC because the monkfish is so data poor. And I recall that we kept the same target tack after that assessment because we felt that that was the best thing to do. If we take out ACT equals the target tack, does that mean the council can't, the council will have to raise the trip limit on monkfish? Will have to? It can't stay status quo?
Okay, I think there's, the sequence is a little out of order. The ABC discussion came 2 years after the assessment when we actually had, prior to the assessment, proposed these target tacks. And we asked, one of the terms of reference of the assessment was to evaluate the impact of those target tacks on the biomass of monkfish. And while the model used in the assessment is not technically a projection model, they did take it out 3 years at the target tack, and this indicated that the stocks continued to increase. However, we had already submitted those tacks, and it was a three-year specification with an automatic extension until the council takes further action. So those tacks were set prior to this ABC discussion and the SSC, which took place earlier this year. With the ABC being set substantially above those target tax, and in consideration of the fact that, according to the last assessment, Monkfish is rebuilt and overfishing is not occurring, by a substantial margin, I might add, in both cases, well above the biomass target and well below the fishing mortality threshold, it didn't seem appropriate to take out such a conservative option and distract the public from the more meaningful options, because there were some comments that if you took this target tack out, people are going to be kind of distracted by it, and it's not a realistic option because it is so conservative. And therefore, the committee is recommending that it be considered and rejected at this time. One other point. You said that we would have to increase the trip limits or the days at sea under the other options. Yes, that's true in three out of the four cases. There's two northern and two southern ACT options. In fact, one of the southern ACT options, option two, is to set the ACT equal to the most recent landings plus discards, because there was an overage of the target tack. In other words, that option results in the same management measures, even though the target tack is higher, because it was that target tack and those days that generated an overage. So in one option, there would not be an increase, but in the others, yes, there would.
Just briefly, when the council votes on this, whether to consider that considered but rejected, it can no longer consider what the target tack that we have now. So if fishermen, in other words, this is pretty precautionary, no question, but if fishermen come to the table and say that, you know, I can't see any, I'm not even finding any monkfish, I want to be conservative, that taking out that option now is leaving us with options that aren't as conservative as this one. That's all I'm saying. We're taking
Yes, and I will point out that in just about the time that we send this over in final form to the regional office next year, we'll be getting the results of the next stock assessment, which will, you know, perhaps validate or invalidate the prior assessment results. The way the regulations are written, and I'm pretty comfortable in saying this, is that if the regional administrator disapproves that component of the amendment, then the existing specifications would remain in effect, because there is a provision there that it would be extended indefinitely until the council adopts and regional office approves another specification. There's a gray area there in that we have to have an ACT. So that's why I'm not going to say any more on that subject.
Phil, talk to me a little bit more about the timing of the next assessment. And
The assessment is scheduled for June of 2010. Not in the context of the DataPoor working group, but it's SARC, what is it? What are we up to there in June? 50. And it's June, correct, for the SARC?
And that's when we're supposed to approve our final.
And we're approving in June also.
Yeah.
But, you know, we usually don't get the assessment report until about a month or so after, depending on how quickly members can complete their reports. But we have a pretty good sense by that time of what the outcome is going to be.
Any other questions? Mary Beth?
Thank you. I just had a question about identifying OI is equal to ACT. And I may not have this right. I mean, I'm sure that's part of the problem. It's been recommended that ACL is equal to ABC. So your ACT is your initial tax, and you're saying that that's your maximum sustainable yield from the fishery and therefore equals OI. Where do your AMs kick in? See, I don't have it right. So that's why I'm asking.
Maximum sustainable yield is maximum sustainable yield. The overfishing limit is the overfishing limit. ABC is the catch that is associated with the overfishing limit and this uncertainty in that estimate in the overfishing limit. So if you think of the overfishing limit as a point, there's a certain amount of uncertainty around that. It could be larger or smaller, and so it's on the low side there for ABC, and then our ACL is equal to ABC. Now, the ACT is the measures to ensure accountability so that you don't cross over into overfishing, which is the ABC or the ACL.
I'm not sure that's really quite right, and maybe I put the term sustainable in here, but in the committee report, it says that ACT represents the maximum yield from the fishery. And the maximum yield from the fishery, I mean, you want measures in place so you don't exceed your OFL. You don't want to be in that overfishing limit. So, I mean, I would think maximum yield from the fishery would be ACL. So where are your AMs kicking in this plan? Do they kick in if you exceed your ACT or your ACL?
Did you say this was in the committee report?
It's on page 2 of the committee report, first paragraph, second to the last sentence.
ACT represents the maximum yield from the fishery, but you left off the rest of the sentence, which says, after taking into account scientific uncertainty in the overfishing limit in setting ABC and management uncertainty in setting the measures that will not exceed the ABC.
Well, I mean, I had read the whole thing. I mean, and I know what that sentence means, but I'm just, when you get to assigning different things to different categories, overfishing limit, set your ABC, scientific uncertainty, management uncertainty, if you're taking your, and this is a question, are you taking your management uncertainty by reducing your ACL to an ACT? And then again, if that is the case, your AMs, do they kick in when you exceed your ACLs?
When you exceed what?
Your ACLs.
Well, there are two kinds of accountability measures in this amendment. There is the proactive ones, which is your ACTs. Those are designed to prevent you from reaching your ACL. If, however, we make mistakes, and for one reason or another, the assumptions in the model are violated, and the catch exceeds the ACL, then there is a reactive accountability measure, which is based on a essentially pound-for-pound overage of the ACL to be deducted and recalculating the effort associated with that new number. So there's the ACTs are a proactive accountability measure. In other words, they are to prevent you from crossing the ACL, given the uncertainty we have in management.
All right. Well, I'm not going to belabor the issue. I'll spend some more time on the document reading through it. It just somehow bothers me just reading that the ACT represents the maximum yield from the fishery, which is an amount less than ACL. So I'll read through it.
Anyone else? Terry?
You're ready for the committee motion? Okay. The committee motion is to split Amendment 5 and to defer consideration of the fully shaded measures in the July 15th version of the decision document to the next management action on monkfish. With the exception of the definition of OY and to make consideration of cat shares for the monkfish fishery the priority for the next management action.
It's a committee motion. Does not require a second discussion on the committee motion. Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, just a clarification. Terry, we have the decision table. This is number one in the monthly section. We have the Amendment 5 decision table dated 8109, and you referenced fully shaded measures in the 715 version of the decision document. So I need to better understand how the decision table in front of us now relates to this particular motion, if it does at all.
Yep. Phil can help you specifically, but go to page 4 and 5.
Go ahead, Phil.
Nothing was changed. What happened was the committee met on July 30th, so they had a 7:15 version of the decision document. This is the wording of the motion of the committee, and therefore I put it in that way. And what I did for the more up-to-date version for the council meeting so that they could follow things more easily is I moved those shaded portions around, and I put one which I identified as the option to put in considered and rejected, and then the other ones to be deferred to the next action. I just rearranged them a little bit to make it clear, and I probably, you know, could have changed the date on that motion, but this is what the committee actually voted on.
Okay. Now, regarding the shaded text, fully shaded measures, I assume you're only referencing in this motion the fully shaded measures that are shown on page 4 and 5 and not the shaded measures in the first part, pages 1 through 4.
Let me look. Well, there shouldn't be any shaded on page 1. My version doesn't have shading on it at all. The only thing that's shaded really, if I remember correctly on this, is the setting of optimum yield. And that was an action that was a changed action from the prior one. So, on page 1 at the bottom, the last row, am I looking at a different version? Because this number 1. Mine doesn't have any shading at all, but it was shaded. Is it?
Terry.
Yeah, see, mine's not. So, thank you.
It's a little confusing. The committee.
Yeah, okay.
The committee originally started with a motion to split the amendment into two parts, really a 5A and 5B, with some specific measures attached to that. And then that motion was tabled while we went through discussion of all the work that the PDT had done. And those were the measures that were shaded in the document as the that the PDT considered were more administrative or needed to be incorporated for the ACLs, AMs, and spec packages. So the motion at the end, which the committee made here, was reflective on that work that we did. It was at the end of a day of going back and forth, and it was easier just to summarize it this way. I'm sorry for the confusion.
Okay, so another motion says, with the exception of the OI, which is shaded in this document, but I also see shading on page 3, automatic date C adjustment for overage.
Yeah, I'll explain that.
That's shaded. And then that seems to be it until there's a natural break in the table that says all these issues that follow are the next action. So I guess that's the question I had.
The motion says the fully shaded measures, and I think if you look at that thing on page 3, the only thing that's shaded there is the title of the motion, automatic days at sea adjustment for overage. The other components across the row are not shaded. And the reason for that is we simply changed the name of the thing because there was some confusion with the use of prior notice as a terminology because it's used in other plans for other reasons and has different connotations. So that's not a fully shaded row.
Generally speaking, I like the layout, the structure, the matrix. I think it's easy on the eye, but would just recommend as a general comment that these issues of fully shaded versus partially shaded is a gray area. And we should try to be clear.
I agree.
Dr. Pierce, are you clear? Sally.
Thank you. I need some clarification on the difference between the two motions from the committee summary. The first motion, which ended up being tabled, was then when it was, I don't know what the parliamentary procedure is, when it was back under consideration again, was ultimately withdrawn. And then this motion is what went forward. Now, I just reading the summary, I'm not remembering what the discussion was, and maybe the chair can of the committee can bring us up to speed on the discussion as it went, as far as whether the intent here is simply to, as was stated originally, split the amendment into 5A and 5B so that the everything that's already been scoped for that's going to be deferred is in a management action that has essentially already been initiated, already been scoped for, so we don't have to go through another scoping process since that's already been done and open things all up again. The way this motion reads, my concern is that it's not clear that that's the intent. And if we can just clarify that that was the intent, or if it's not, that needs to be described here, I think. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Sally. It was the intent of the committee to split it into two parts to deal with these issues first, and as we're doing with Herring, and keep going on the cat share and the other parts of the scoped inclusions in another action. And we were working from a document that the PDT provided us with their recommendations, and the language got a little bit tangled. And the chairman's point was well made about the presentation for the next time.
So the next management action that is referred to here is 5B. Is that correct?
5B, 6, however, the will of the council is to move it ahead, and we'll, as we said, priorities in November.
So it's not really a matter. I mean, it's a big difference. You know, it might sound like parsing here, but it's a matter of whether we're going to go to scoping again. And given that everything that's being deferred has already been scoped, I would assume that there's not a reason to have to further delay and initiate another amendment, but simply to continue, carry forward the things, which I believe is what the recommendation from the committee is, to carry forward these things in the immediate next action, that being a continuation of the same amendment that's already been scoped for. So that's what I'm looking for clarification here, and if we're not quite getting it, then I think that we need to have some actual clarification in the motion that's on the table.
Other members of the committee may correct me, but I believe it was the intent of the committee that there would be no additional scoping, that the issues that were not covered that were scoped for the development of Amendment 5 be the next be the next action.
Yeah, just to clear this up, once we submit this amendment, this is an amendment that goes forward with an environmental assessment. The next action will be another amendment or a framework adjustment. In the case of cat share type things, it will probably require the development of environmental impact statement because of the significance of the impacts. And therefore, we will have to publish a notice of intent to prepare the amendment and to prepare an environmental impact statement. You can think of it any way you want. But that is what it is. It will be Amendment 6 with an environmental impact statement. Under NEPA, scoping is a process. There's no formal requirements to have a period of time when you do scoping. We generally do that to try and set a limit. But, in fact, scoping occurs right through until you submit your draft environmental impact statement. All the committee meetings, AP meetings, public hearings if we hold them or don't hold them, are part of the scoping process. It's where you give the public the opportunity to identify the issues and how they should be addressed in the environmental impact statement. It's a NEPA thing. And so scoping will take place. The amendment will go forward as a separate amendment with its own environmental impact statement.
I think, Sally, unless the simple answer is we're not going to add any additional issues or anything. We're going to continue work on the work that we've identified already with no new issues. So we'll send out a notice of intent that we're going to separate, do this, another EIS and amendment, but we're not going to invite any additional workload. We're just going to continue the work we're doing.
Thanks, Paul. And I certainly understand that this is an iterative process through the development of an amendment and that there's opportunity for public comment throughout. My concern is that if we don't have this clear, which I think we're getting on the record now, and I appreciate this, that we're going to be focused on the issues that have not been able to be dealt with right now in the current Amendment 5, immediately in the next management action, without opening it up for what I am calling a scoping process, which I think everybody understands as the initiation of a new amendment that allows for and invites additional public comment that can get us beyond the scope of what we've been talking about so far. So thank you, Paul.
Yes, I think we will benefit, though, from the process where the public is involved in identifying the issues specific to CatShare programs, because we haven't got a complete package yet, and there are concerns people have, points of view. Many have not been engaged in the development of the CatShare programs up to now and will become more engaged, and their comments will be considered scoping comments until we complete the EIS.
I mean, I think that's right. Our partners in this plan, the Mid-Atlantic Council, certainly are going to want to weigh in on the design and ultimate implementation. Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. You just started to go where I was going to go. There's very active interest from the Mid-Atlantic Council in this amendment, and they're definitely interested in providing their own catch-share option. So I fully anticipate a stronger collaboration with them towards the development of whatever we're going to call the next action.
Well, and I think it was in one of Phil's slides in his presentation, but one of the unique things about this management plan is it's not primarily a directed fishery. There are other fisheries that depend on have interactions with monkfish, and how this plan is ultimately written, if it does go down a catch share route, there'll be other constituencies or other interests that are going to be active in it, I'm sure, as well. So. But to answer your question, Sally, I think we're viewing this, it's on the record, that this is a tandem or a trailer amendment. Some of the issues that we've been working on are ready and required to be implemented is ASAP, leaving the remaining issues that are partly shaded, in the document to continue to work on. So, anything further on the motion on the board? You ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Anyone opposed? Anyone abstain? Motion carries unanimous 16-0-0. Terry?
That concludes my report.
Paul Howard.
What about that considered and rejected for the council decision? One of the options in the amendment that we're working on now? Does that have to be approved by the council?
Phil?
That will be up in November. We've kind of been informing you of this, but it doesn't require action. This is what really requires action because we, have to prepare these documents for November and need your approval.
Sally?
Yeah, just one question. At the end of the meeting summary, page 8, there was discussion at the committee meeting about an agreement among the committee members that the council should send a letter to NOAA seeking assistance in developing a catch share program for monkfish, which, you know, that's part of the reason that we're in this position where we had to split the motion or split the amendment, was that there simply we just don't have enough resources to be able to do a very large task. So I know that we talked about this a little bit over lunch among a few council members, but I just wanted to mention that perhaps during priority setting in November, that rather than expressing an opinion from the region to headquarters on what the priorities are just for monkfish, but to put it in the context of which of the fisheries under the jurisdiction of the New England Council are of interest to make a transition to catch share should be reiterated by the Council. I know you're a part of that process, Mr. Chairman, but perhaps once we're going through the priority setting, that would be a good time for the Council to express its intent as it may be based on priority setting in November.
I agree. Anything else on the monkfish? Terry?
See you in November.
Okay. Thank you, Phil. We'll take a 10-minute break and we'll get into whiting.
Good afternoon, everybody. If we could get everybody to turn to tab number 6. This is the Small Mesh Multispecies Alias Whiting Committee, Oversight Committee meeting. We have basically three documents to work from. Documents 1 and 3 are in the form of slides that will be presented here in a few minutes. And document 2 is the meeting summary, which has our discussion and deliberations. I can tell you, and by way of background, that the Whiting PDT met on August 20th and September 10th to prepare an updated assessment status determination for silver and red hake stocks. The PDT also began development of a safe report to be included in Amendment 17 and a landings database to develop and analyze limited access qualification criteria. The Oversight and Advisory Committee met jointly on September 14th to begin development of draft alternatives for Amendment 17. And I can tell you by way of summary that this is basically a continuation of an amendment which was previously numbered Amendment 14 that we set aside several years ago when it became quite apparent that the Council had more business than time to do it, and this basically got put on hold. So you want to consider this as kind of a restart-up of an amendment that was already underway. However, the numbers changed. It's now proposed to be Amendment 17. With that being said, what we propose to do here is to have staff person Andy Applegate run through a series of slides on the issues that we'll be dealing with. And once that's concluded, we'll put a draft committee motion up on the board for hopefully the full council to endorse. With that being said, I'll turn it over to Andy.
Thank you. I'm Andy Applegate, new staff member on Whiting. And I'll go over a combined report. And I want to explain the status.